evening, hopeful that we'll have a morning crowd out in the evening. And I did that last time, and don't believe it worked. I don't believe it worked. So I prepared a different sermon. I prepared a sermon for an evening crowd. You are an evening crowd. I consider you the few and the faithful, the ones that are here are followers of Christ that are going to be here no matter what. And in doing that, in preparing for a crowd such as this, you limit yourself also on what you can preach on, because a lot of you know this scripture better than I, and you're following the scriptures and the commandments better than I. So as I prepared, I thought about what I wasn't going to preach on, and limited my preaching by what I was not going to say this evening. And I'm not going to talk to you about the doctrine of Christ. You all know where it's found. You know where it's found in both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. You know in the Book of Mormon you can turn to the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi and read just a few short verses, and it's not very long. It's really not very long, but it says so much, and you know what it says. It's talking about baptism and repentance and faith. It's talking about relying wholly upon the merits of Christ in your life. And I would probably preach that to a morning crowd. But you're not a morning crowd. I'm not going to turn to the principles of the doctrine and rehearse them to you again. You know them. You know where they're found. You know that those are found. I am going to turn to it, but I'm not going to preach it. You know they're listed in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the first couple verses. And I'm not going to preach those because you and I fall into, I hope you do, I know you do. I know that you fall into a certain category. And you are who I would consider followers of Jesus Christ. I would consider you sons and daughters. I would consider you heirs to the kingdom who have already committed your lives to Jesus Christ, who have already made that decision, who have already went down in the waters of baptism, who have already repented of their sins. And I trust and I know that though you sin, it's not very often because you're making that effort. So it's not an ongoing process for you. But we do have an ongoing process that we need to follow, especially as the elect. And I consider you out there the elect. So I am going to turn to Hebrews, but I'm going to start in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Read an appropriate scripture, and I trust that this does not apply to you or me. I'm going to start with the 8th verse, the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are of dull hearing. And I don't consider you of dull hearing. I know that during a service, whether it be morning or evening, you're listening, and most often with your scriptures open, correct? And it's open to the 5th chapter of Hebrews right now, correct? And so you're following along, you're anticipating, you're wanting to learn. So I know that you are not dull of hearing. it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't. I don't believe it bothers most preachers when they're standing up here to see people disinterested sometimes. But for the most part, we look out and we do find people that are listening. And we know that we have made an effort. We know that what we have on our lips is not our thoughts, but it's the Lord's thoughts. I'm going to read on. And I trust this is not you. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk. It's not you, right? And not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now I see some babes out here, but little ones. But you are not a babe in this gospel. You know the gospel. You're trusting in the Lord. You are doing those, keeping those commandments which he gave you. You are not a babe. But this is you. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. And these next three verses, it's talking to you, the few and the faithful. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the milk, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. This is you. This is your commandment. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. You know all these things, do you not? You know them. Just like the back of your hand, you know these. And you have been given a commandment here. And it says, and this we will do if God permit. This is for you and I. This is for you and I. That's all of it for us. That is what you and I are to focus on. I mean, have you thought about that? Is that your focus? Are you now leaving the principles behind and leaving the milk behind and actually seeking to go on to perfection? That is your calling, folks. If you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, if you consider yourselves an heir to the kingdom, this is your calling, nothing less. That should be our everything. Or at least it should be. I want to turn back into familiar scripture, back into Matthew, the 5th chapter. You know, probably know where I'm going. I know you know where I'm going. I'm going to read 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. Somebody explain to me, if you want, exactly what that means. That ye resist not evil. Doesn't that sound like a misnomer, doesn't it? It's not talking about evil. It's talking about people. It's talking about evil people. people. And what did it just say? That ye resist not evil people. It's not saying to surround yourself with evil. It is saying do not separate yourself from evil people. What are evil people besides people in need? Let's read on. That's what it means. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn unto him thy other also. Isn't that what it means? Follow along. Isn't that exactly what it means? And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Resist not the evil person. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may what? Be the children. Wait a minute, I've already called you the children. I've already called you sons and daughters of God. We, in this congregation, need to do this to be considered the children of God. You know all the basics. You know where to find them. You're doing them. This is what you and I have to be doing now. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the good or on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans? And if ye keep yourselves separated from those that are, you know, are not doing wrong or right, are you doing what you should be? Are you striving for perfection? This is the way we reach it. It says so right here. Therefore, it says, be ye therefore perfect. Go on unto perfection. Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It goes, this scripture tells you to go beyond a love of all man. It tells you to interact. Does it not? It tells me to interact those that we would consider evil. It says all that we come in contact with. Yes, it does. It says all. Who in this world does not God interact with? What did I just read? Says he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain likewise on both, the just and the unjust. I'm going to turn to a scripture. I really like this scripture. I really like everything in Peter. 1 and 2 Peter. I have a soft spot for the writings of Peter. The third chapter, 2 Peter, first five verses. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. This is to the church, the general church, people I believe that he's writing to that are much like this group that stands before me now, or sits before me now. I stand before you, don't I? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us apostles and Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, evil people. This is the, I mean, everyone I look out on recognizes that this is the last days. Okay? This is what Peter, an apostle of the church, is writing to you and I. Just pretend you just went to your mailbox and you got this letter from Peter. And he says, hey, guys, you're in the last days. There are people walking about, scoffers, walking after their own lusts. People that you would consider not right, not doing right. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? People that might rebuke you, that may laugh at your keeping yourself unspotted in this world. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is not the last days, folks. It's been going on forever. That's what they're going to say. But I like this fifth verse. For this they willingly are ignorant of. If they're willingly ignorant, they have heard the truth. And where in the world are seeing the truth? Where in the world do you think they would hear or see the truth? But through you. We are to resist not evil. And if they are ignorant, they're willingly ignorant. Because you and I had an interaction with them. We have a love of all man, and we're actually doing something about it. We, you and I, are striving for perfection. You and I are striving to be Christ-like in our walk here upon this earth. Maybe this won't be so short, right? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This is what the scoffers would say, and for that, I already read that. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God and the heavens of old, and the earth standeth out of water and in the water. I like that. I really like that scripture because I believe that it's talking to you and I. If we're really reaching for perfection, we'll do this. If we're satisfied where we are, reach out for another glass of milk, folks. Reach out for another glass of milk. Because that's where you are. That's where we are. And that's not where we're called to be. You and I are called to be partakers of that meat. I really believe, I know, that God called me and he called you out of, and I have heard testimonies, especially from a brother on the front row, called you out of darkness into the light. Called you once again out of darkness. I know, I believe with all my heart, that he's delivered us unto salvation from damnation. I believe with all my heart that he's put a truth within your mind and your soul and your heart. Because I've heard you stand and testify as much. And I also believe that he wants something more of me and he wants something more of you. And it's not just to be satisfied. As I said, and I'll say it again, if you are satisfied, you're still partaking of that milk. Corinthians states that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. I'm not going to turn that to that, but I am going to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to read the first six verses. Ephesians, fourth chapter, six verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I believe that our Lord and Savior walks and talks and reacts and loves through you to the world. I believe it. I believe it because the Scriptures tell me that. It tells in Corinthians that I am the body of Christ, that you are the body of Christ. It tells me right here, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And it tells me that I have a vocation. And it tells you that you have a vocation. And that vocation is not to resist evil. That is that vocation. That is your purpose. I want to turn into the Book of Mormon, the second chapter of Jacob. Starting with the 14th verse, it's on page 170, reading through the 28th. And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and silver and all manner of precious ores in the land, in the which this land, which is the land of promise unto you and your seed, doth abound most plentiful. So it sounds like, he says, calls them brethren. There is a people that, because of their fortunes, had began to forsake their true calling. And the hand of providence has smiled upon you most pleasingly, that you may have, that you have obtained many riches. And because some of you have obtained more abundantly than your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts and wear stiff necks and high heads. I don't believe this is any of you, because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren because ye suppose that ye are better than they. Now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you, and if ye persist in these things, his judgment must speedily come unto you. And I don't believe that's anybody here. But as I said before, I believe that you and I have been given great things. We've been called out of the world, and we've been given great things. And we have a debt to pay. Although we can never repay it, we have a debt to pay. I'll go on. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you with one glance of his eye and can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you of this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands. Go unto perfection. Resist not evil. Commandments. Think of your brethren like unto yourself and be familiar with who? With all. With all. And free with your substance that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek for the kingdom of God. And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them, and ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you. What shall ye say of it? Do you suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being as precious in his sight as the other? That's a very important verse, isn't it? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other. And all flesh is of the dust. And for the self same end hath he created them. Harvey knows this by heart, don't you, Harvey? That they should keep his commandments and glorify him forever. That is our vocation. That is what we are called to do. To keep those commandments, to glorify God. How? By continuing to consume the milk. Or actually go on to perfection. That's how we glorify God. Maybe it is going to be short. So we have this work to do. We have this work. This is the beginning of a new week. You know, I think a lot of the world thinks Sunday is the end of the week, but actually it is the beginning of the week, a beginning of the week that we can actually do this, that we can actually resist not evil, but interact with those that are without, so they are not just ignorant, but if they continue down their ways, they will be willingly ignorant, not because you and I have not made the effort. Why should I do this? Why should you do it? I look at that as a commandment. I don't know if you look at it as a commandment, but I look at it as a commandment to do those things. Especially if you believe, like I do, that you were called out of the world, that you were given the opportunity for salvation, that you were given something that you could hope for and look forward to and rejoice in. Why do it? Because you're commanded. Why? Because there's something attached to it, if you'll do it. There's something marvelous attached to it, if you'll strive to that perfection. I want to turn to the 15th chapter of John. starting with the fourth verse and reading through somewhere. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I just read you some of his words and commands. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. What is our purpose? To glorify God. How do we do that? By bearing much fruit. How do we do that? By going on to perfection. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye, in my love. Not in Steve's love or your love. Continue ye in my love. A love as God. You are to love as Jesus Christ. You are to love as is described in that fifth chapter of Matthew. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken. Goodness gracious, I love these next verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, these are the wages. I can never earn these, but this is a promise. This is an absolute promise to you and I if you strive to go on to perfection and you resist not evil, as you let the Father and the Son's love abide in you. This is a promise. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now I know that I am not worthy of such a thing. I know that I can never do enough to be worthy of that kind of joy. But I am called to do that. And I want that joy, and I want my joy to be full, and I want your joy to be full. I want this congregation, and you in particular, who have gathered here tonight, to walk around with that silly grin on your face because you have your souls filled with this joy. And it's not a silly grin. But that's the way the Lord would have it to be. But think of the alternative. If you think of the alternative and you can't picture it, look out in the world and you'll picture it. A dissatisfied, wanting people. We're going to be one way or the other. And I want your joy to be full and my joy to be full. The scriptures tell us how. The scriptures tell us why. And the scriptures tell us how to do it. The Lord commanded us to do it. I hope and pray that this small congregation that is gathered here this evening will be about this, not only this coming week, but make this, continue to make this our life's work, because it is. That is your life's work, my life's work. I thank you.